If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What is happening? You're listening to episode 313 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, player 2, Lauren Galaxy. How are you tonight?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So glad we are able to do this. We recently connected via Clubhouse and then Twitter. Then I TikTok's slowly happening. I think that's going to happen here soon. And here we are. Like, we talked about doing a Clubhouse, and then I was like, you know, I have a podcast, and I see you play Animal Crossing and some other Nintendo games, so...
All true.
Why don't you come chat with me? And here we are. Here we are.
I like being player two, because that means I get to be Luigi. So.
Okay, well, hey, let's just jump right into this thing. The first thing we do, so there's going to be one hard question.
Okay.
I'll give it to you now, but you can answer it a little bit later, just so you can be thinking about it. But What is the one Nintendo game that we're all going to judge you for that you haven't finished or ever played?
Oh, sweet Lord. No, I can answer this. I can answer it right now.
All right, we can start. Let's start with the good stuff then. Here we go.
We can kick it off with a very, very controversial statement. So I see Tom says that he'd rather be Luigi also. See, Tom, you have good taste. I grew up playing the original Nintendo. My neighbor Teresa had it. I think I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. I think my aunt had a copy of Mario Duck Hunt. And so I would always go over to my friend Teresa's house after school. Loved playing original Mario. I knew about the secret extra life in the first level. I knew how to skip, you know, all the levels to the castle. To my shame, I have never finished that game because I would always run out of time in the final level. So maybe you can give me some pointers on how to finally finish that game after 31 years of playing it.
So, are you ready?
Yeah.
The trick in the final castle is to always take the pipe that follows anything red. So if you see lava, the next pipe is the one you can go down that will take you in the right. Because if you take the wrong pipe, it takes you back. It just restarts the level.
Right. And I would just always run out of time. And obviously, I didn't have IGN wiki guides when I was five, so I never finished it.
Yeah, so now, I mean, you're gonna have to, you gotta report back. I want to know.
I will.
You're gonna finally see the end scene with, I'm not gonna spoil it, but
it's been such a journey.
I love that. I remember the first time I got to that section of the game. It was hard enough to get there. And then I was like, why do I keep just resetting? What is the... After you see red, the next pipe.
Okay. It's been my secret shame. I mean, you just called me out right here, like just, in front of the entire world.
Yeah, right off the bat. That's at Lauren Galaxy on Twitter, so... You can tweet at her there. But
I know someone in chat said they were out. I get it. It's hard.
So that's kind of the start, I'm guessing, right? Super Mario Brothers, NES. Yep. Any notable titles on the NES other than...
I mean, I think it was just Mario and Duck Hunt. I don't think any of the kids that I knew had any other games. I think the only console I had played around that time was the original Sega, because my aunt, who had Mario, she had Sonic, and we would play in her basement. But I didn't play another Mario game for a while. I would play, Super Mario Brothers 3 on a relative's Game Boy. Like, she had Tetris and Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, wait. So on Game Boy, it would be Super Mario Land or then Super Mario Land 2. Unless it was it could have been a Game Boy Advance, though. Like, was it a Game Boy Advance?
Would have been like 92. I think it was OG Game Boy, but I remember it had, you could get the feather for the first time, and it had the little sand cacti.
Was there a carrot power up? Did Mario look like a rabbit? And Wario was introduced for the first time? The 6 golden coins? Does it ring a bell?
I don't think so. I feel like when I finally played on a Super Nintendo system and I played Mario 3, that it felt familiar, like I had played it before. But
interesting.
It was a long time ago. And I don't know if she even still has that Game Boy. She probably doesn't.
I got you. So, I mean, obviously the Mario with the raccoon tail and the frog suit, all the good stuff. So did you beat that one?
No. Like, again, these consoles weren't mine.
Right.
So if I were to try to finish something, I would have to do it in the hour or two that I was at my aunt's house or at my friend Teresa's house. So, I can say that I've been playing video games my whole life, but I actually didn't own a console until the Nintendo 64. And
well, let's start from there. I mean,
I have a great story about how I got that console.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear it.
So, grew up relatively poor, as I'm sure other people have experienced. Had no money for consoles. That was just not a thing my family could afford. Moved around a lot. But when my family and I moved to California from the Midwest, my mom started dating this guy who is now my stepdad, Brian, amazing guy. And I think I was, how old was I? I was 11 when they met. And so I think I had either just turned 12 when we were about to celebrate Christmas, and he was a gamer. And so he still has all his original Nintendo games and Zelda and Madden and, Tecmo, just all those great classic games. So he was a gamer. And that's when they announced the Nintendo 64. So for Christmas, they had triple wrapped a Nintendo 64 with Mario. I think it came with Mario. And he had hid it behind the couch. And so we had finished unwrapping all of our presents. I did not think I was going to get a console. And so it was a very Christmas story moment of, but wait, there's one more present.
I love
Lauren, look behind the couch. And I remember getting through the first layer of wrapping paper because he triple wrapped it and being like, you sly devil, you're trying to extra wrap it. So I get through the second layer, I get through the third layer, and it's the Nintendo 64, and I burst into tears.
Oh.
And I immediately said, you have to take this back. We can't afford this. I can't accept it. Food stamp child in me was like, no, I can't. I can't take this. We need to eat this month or whatever. But he was just such a generous person. And to this day, he and I still play video games together. And so, of course, I was obsessed with that game. Of course, it was the first Mario game I was able to play all the way through and beat because it was mine. We still have that Nintendo 64 console. So it was the first console I owned. It was a Christmas present, and it has definitely solidified my forever love of Nintendo.
So, a few things. First, I didn't beat Mario 64 until about 2 years ago.
Okay, I don't feel so bad about the original Mario.
The 64 was the first console I bought myself. I was probably a junior in high school, and was dating who's now my the gal is now my wife, and I got Mario Kart and GoldenEye. That's because I was just looking for stuff we could play together, and I saw somebody beat Mario 64. I was at a buddy's house, and I saw him fight Bowser. I thought it was the end of the game, and I was like, I don't know that I need to play this now. That's kind of what went in my mind, and I played Ocarina of Time. I played other single player games, but Never went back to Mario. I think there was something inside of me too that was like, Mario's supposed to be too. I think that was the other thing that I was having a hard time with. But my son, I used to mess with my kids around Christmas time, be like, okay, everything on your list is too expensive. We can't. Just to mess with them, right? And so he comes back after he's like, I'm pretty sure he wanted a DS, you know. And then he comes back and he's like, I just want Hot Wheels. And I was like, are you sure? Like, that seems super weird. And he's like, yeah, I just want Hot Wheels. Like, I just have a handful of different Hot Wheels I want. And so I like returned the DS and got the Hot Wheels, right? And he opened everything up and he was happy. And I was like, you know, like the next day it was like, you really didn't want a DS? He's like, well, you guys said we couldn't afford it. And so I just wanted to go with inexpensive things. So I took him out. We got the DS. I was like, all right, well, I appreciate it. But this was me trying to like, I didn't want you just to assume you're going to get every gift on your list. You know what I mean? Like, I was just trying to, I'm like, all right, note to self. So pro parenting tip right there. Don't mess with your kids too much. It might come back to bite you. So, okay, 64. Let's camp on this a little bit longer. So what were some of the notable games that you really got into besides Mario?
Pod Racer.
Yes.
The game of the year in my house. So my aunt and cousin came to live with us that summer. So we had I was 12-ish, 13-ish when Phantom Menace came out, 99. I would have been 14 going on 15. So my cousin would have been 4 going on 5. And so he came to live with us that summer. It's all we played. I mean, I could hear the da 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 da, like, in my head forever. Love Pod Racer. I think it might have been called, was it just called Racer? Or was it called Pod Racer?
Oh, I think it was, yeah, it was like Star Wars Pod Racer.
Yeah.
Or Pod Racing, maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah. So that was the big, like, group game where we all took turns doing the different courses, increasing the difficulty, trying to find the secret ramps to get the extra stuff. Mm-hmm. That was a big game. Outside of Mario, which is still, I think, the best game I've ever played, although Animal Crossing might take that title. We, of course, played Bond. Well, but Bond would have been on... Was Bond on the PlayStation or was it? It was 64, right?
Yeah, GoldenEye was 64.
Yeah. GoldenEye was 64. Okay. So GoldenEye was the game we used to play at my best friend's house because her brother had GoldenEye. I don't think I owned it for a while. Yeah, we loved playing Bond at my friend's house. But then I got Perfect Dark.
Yes.
And Perfect Dark is my game.
I'm giving you a virtual high five right now because, like, I had 32 days tracked on my memory card. 32 days that my kids erased. But Perfect Dark. So good. So good.
Perfect Dark. I loved it so much. I was super into Aliens and the X-Files at the time.
Of course. Yes, of course.
Right? It was like the X-Files movie had just come out. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like a girl Bond game. She was a total badass. I love the fact that there were all those mini games, like you could play Capture the Flag and King of the Hill. And my other really good friend, Jolene, she had a Nintendo 64 and she had Perfect Dark. So anytime we would spend the night at each other's houses, we would just throw in an extra controller and play the like multiplayer games. And we beat it together. I'm pretty sure we were doing a two-player finish when we finally beat that alien lady. And it took days to finish. I remember it took forever.
That is so great. So did you kind of lose it when the initiative showed Perfect Dark and you could see the laptop gun in the corner and stuff?
I was screaming in all caps. I'm so excited.
I love it. It's so good. Like that game, the reason I had 32 days played, I used to take a rubber band. And like my uncle and I were competing to try to get to the perfect rating, right? You had to get to the number one was perfect. later found out you had to do that playing against other people. It didn't work against them. So we would like, I would rubber band the trigger with like the laser and put the meat sims on so they would just run right into it with one hit kill. And I would come back and have like 900 kills and then quit the game. And, you know, so I'd be at work all day and the 64 would just be running. Sometimes it would freeze because, you know, it's the 64. So, yeah, we tried and tried and tried. So, did you ever find any of the cheese in Perfect Dark?
I don't know. It's been so long because we still have our 64. And I think, like, when I went to college, we sold some of our old console games. And so a couple years ago for my birthday, my dad actually bought me a new to me copy of Perfect Dark. And we plugged it in and we were trying to play and the graphics are just so, it's so hard to play N64 games on big screens. And I was trying to play through Perfect Dark and I was like getting some like flashback memories of some of the experiences, but I don't know if there was cheese.
So in Perfect Dark, there's a piece of cheese hidden in every level. And you have to, like, in one particular area, you have to have the sniper rifle and you have to zoom way in on this little crack between like two rocks. And then with the scope, you can see the piece of it's there. In another level, you had to shoot the rocket that you could control. And you know how it was like on a camera and you could go around and you had to take it like out a window, up the side of the building, and then over to the roof. And there was the piece of.
I don't think I ever experienced the cheese.
They were just, it was just basically like Easter eggs, right? Like,
yeah,
they did nothing. There was nothing. It was just.
How funny.
Well, one thing I actually need to go back and play through it because I remember in one of the later levels being in an elevator and looking down and Bowser's face in the elevator. But I've never heard anybody else talk about it. And I've never gone back to like, you know how it is. It's been so long that like, it could have just been in my head. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I remember going like, man, they snuck Bowser into this. Again, I'd have to go back to confirm it. So I got a tip for you. I need to make a TikTok of this about it. And I haven't done it yet. If you go back and you play the 64, this still has a price tag on it. Thrift store. If you go back and play Perfect Dark, it can be really difficult if you play it like the way we used to, right? Where you would run with the C and because it's backwards for it. Well, you just move your thumb to the D-pad and then your left thumb to the D-pad, your right thumb to the stick. It will play like a modern shooter. You can run with your left hand and look with the right.
Interesting.
And you can still reach the other buttons. No problem. And so I keep forgetting to make that TikTok because I've told some people and they're like, oh my gosh, we just played last weekend and none of us could hang because it was like, and I'm like, oh yeah, I gotta get this info out there because
it's hard to switch between controllers. Even now I switch between my Nintendo Switch and my PS4 all the time. And there's always just a slight delay of, oh right, these buttons all do different things.
Yep. Yeah, the A button and the B button being swapped on the Xbox for me is like the thing with the Xbox is I typically play with paddles, so like that helps because I'm not using the face buttons all that much. But when I have to use them, it's just like, oh, why? And what kills me with Nintendo is like Super Mario Kart. It was press B to start, and it was B for your accelerator. That was on the original game. And then they switched it over to A later on. And I'm like, I mean, it makes sense with like the GameCube because that, you know, the big A button in the. It just made sense. But
Right. Yeah,
it throws me off. And The way the Switch is where you can pull the Joy-Cons off and play sideways, the PlayStation face buttons would be the best for that because you could still tell people, hey, hit the circle button, hey, hit the triangle button, you know, like
right.
It's so I was just playing with my nephews the other day and he's like, what button do I press? And I'm like, I don't, those are just arrows. The one on the left, you know, and he's like, he's like six. So he's like, what? I don't. So, but So Perfect Dark, man, that I love hearing that. I really, did you play the 360 Zero?
No. So, played Perfect Dark, played the Pod Racer game, obviously played Mario. I played a lot of Rogue Squadron on the 64.
Oh.
Like a ton of Rogue Squadron. I know everything I know about ships in Star Wars because of that game. Like,
I love it.
I can call out an A-Wing, a Y-Wing, an X-Wing, a B-Wing. I know what they do because of that video game. And then the other two games I loved on the N64, which I never hear anybody talk about, is Mission Impossible and Indiana Jones.
Okay, so I vaguely remember Mission Impossible, but break it down. Was it a third person or was it first person?
So it was first person. You know what? It might have been third, because I think you can see Ethan when he's in disguise. So it essentially is the first Mission Impossible movie with Tom Cruise, shot for shot. So you have to break into the Russian embassy. You have to put on the face mask of the diplomat. You have to find the music. You have to add the smoke detectors that go off so that you can evacuate the embassy. It's so great. And my parents and I would take turns and play through it. And to this day, we quote that game. we quote that in the Indiana Jones game all the time.
So I remember Mission Impossible. Like, I would see it everywhere. It was always one of those ones that just kind of eluded me. Like, I never ended up playing it. Indiana Jones, I don't remember at all. So was it like kind of like a Tomb Raider game, or what did it play?
Yeah, Indiana Jones was fantastic. So you had a lighter, which came in handy if you had to burn spider webs because they would block your path. I think the mystery was set in South America, so it was like a Montezuma kind of Quetzalcoatl, like Aztec sort of volcano mystery. You had a machete to cut like your path. You had a lighter to burn through spider webs. If you needed to heal, you could collect herbs. And so the character would go, medicinal herbs. And we still say that in my house.
That is,
I don't
the
remember
best.
If there were any like extra characters or movie type characters. And at this point, I don't even know who voiced Indiana Jones. I'm sure it's someone recognizable from the gaming industry, but like when they announced that they were going to do a new Indiana Jones game, I was again screaming in all caps because the original one was so good.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great. I don't know that I've ever talked to anybody that played like the Indiana Jones game or anything like that. So that's interesting. Maybe I'll put it on my list of games to hunt down to get in my collection. Cause yeah, I know nothing about it. And plus I just want to hear him say medicinal herbs now.
Medicinal herbs.
So any other 64 games before we move on to like the GameCube or whatever? Like I know wrestling games were very popular. Turok was another good shooter. Wave Race and F-Zero and Mario Kart.
I didn't ever do Mario Kart or Mario Party or any of those. I was very late to those. I think it was just any Star Wars game that came out, we bought at that point.
Shadow of the Empire, did you play through that one?
I don't know if I played through that one. I think just Rogue Squadron and the Pod Racer one. And I know on the Super Nintendo, we played all the movie games.
Star Wars, Super Empire, and Super...
Yes. And I don't know if we ever beat Empire Strikes Back. But I remember beating Return of the Jedi and just being so elated over defeating the Emperor.
Yes.
I just was so happy.
Killer
Instinct. Someone in chat said, yep. Killer Instinct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we played a lot of Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct Gold on the 64 or the original on the SNES?
Now that is a good question. We would have had both in the house at the same time. I just remember that boys would always come over in the summer and want to play Killer Instinct. And I would like nail them with a 30 combo and then they'd set the controller down and be like, I gotta go.
That is my favorite thing ever. So do you remember who you played as in Killer Instinct?
Oh my gosh. It's been so long. I'm going to have to look up
Well, there was like Orchid, I think, was like the only female character. And then you had Fulgore, who was kind of like the robot. And then I want to say Tomahawk was one of like the.
It would have been Orchid, because when you said that, I immediately remembered. Yeah.
Okay. And she had like the green, I think like a green skirt, depending on the color. Like that was her, that was the main color, but you could obviously.
Yeah. I loved Killer Instinct. And I feel like I would quote Killer Instinct more than Mortal Kombat, like, you know, just around the house. Just a triple combo.
Yes.
Like when the Mortal Kombat trailer came out the other day, my mom was like, is that the triple combo one? And my dad was like, no, no, that's Killer Instinct. And we were like, oh yeah, they're different games. We're, my house is a gaming house, so it's just normal conversation for my family.
I love it. I love it. I've mentioned it on here many times, but Killer Instinct on the SNES allowed me to really practice a fighting game at home. And then I would go to the arcade and have a line of grown men behind me. Like, hey kid, how do you do that? I'm like, I don't know, practice, you know, like put your quarter up, you know what I mean?
I love that combo breaker. Yeah. Yes. People in chat, they know.
Yeah.
They know.
And it was one that I like, my mom was like, okay with Killer Instinct, but not really okay with Mortal Kombat. Like I had to like, there was less convincing that had to happen. There wasn't nearly as much blood.
Yeah, Killer Instinct was like the PG-13 mm-hmm. like version. I liked Killer Instinct, and I would not be opposed if they brought it back.
Yeah. Have you played any of the one that came out on the Xbox One?
Mm-mm. I've actually never played on the Xbox. Like, I've as I got older and as my interest kind of shifted, I skipped entire generations of consoles.
Okay.
Like, much to my detriment.
I got you. So did you end up getting a GameCube and playing some games?
So we did get a GameCube. So we were like, my dad, he was the one who could afford to buy video games for all of us, and he was a pretty faithful Nintendo guy. So we did get the GameCube, and I think we played all the Matrix games. So we played Enter the Matrix, mm-hmm. and The Path of Neo, I think, because we're big movie people, and so for us getting a game based on a movie was really easy. And I loved the Matrix games. I just so good. You could be Morpheus. You could be Jada Pinkett Smith's character's name in the movie.
It escaped.
Naomi?
Naomi, yep, it's Naomi.
Was it Naomi? Yeah. Okay. You could be Ghost. You could be Neo. I loved it. But when Madden was coming out for the PlayStation, we switched from Nintendo to PlayStation. So then my dad got a PS2, and we were at a PlayStation only family until I bought a Switch recently.
Wow. Because of Madden.
Mm-hmm, because of Madden, because he's a big NFL guy. He's from Wisconsin. He's really into the Packers. So we switched to PlayStation. So I played all the Lord of the Rings games on PlayStation, Two Towers, Return of the King. And then I didn't play video games for ages and ages and ages and ages. So I have a gap in my video game years.
That's interesting. So one of the things I'm doing right now is kind of going through Game Pass on Xbox. And I actually tweeted about it today because I'm like, I'm getting to go back and play it. Cause when the Xbox came out, it became my Destiny machine. And then I didn't play much on the Xbox One, a few of the, you know, Halo 5, Gears 5, that kind of stuff. But like, and so like, yeah, I mean, I get it. Having that little bit of gap. I remember even from like in between the 64 and the GameCube for myself, like I felt like I had stopped playing the 64 or the GameCube. I know I had but I didn't quit gaming. I had actually moved over to a little bit of PC.
Yeah, PCs were definitely the thing. So for me, I think by the time we had played through most of the 64 games and we were ready to get a GameCube, I was out of high school, ready to go to college. And then when I was in college, you don't have any money to spend on video game consoles. So yeah, it's interesting how, like, depending on what you're doing at a certain time in your life, you may game more or game less. And then we didn't have we didn't have a new console in the house after the PlayStation 2 until like 2016. We bought PS3s like very, very, very late. And then I bought a used Wii because I hated the fact that I didn't have a Nintendo console for such a long time. And I was on eBay and in thrift stores just buying old Wii games just like crazy and just playing as much as I could. Not like playing through storyline games, but I loved like Wii Sports and Wii Fit, just like all those unique Wii games that we don't really have right now.
Yeah, they were great. Right? And even some of the mainline games were great. Like, did you get a chance to play Galaxy or Galaxy 2?
Mm-mm.
Now that it's on Switch, have you had a chance to play?
So I bought them.
Oh, good.
And I'm going to stream them when I get to that point. Like right now I'm streaming Super Mario World because I was just so nostalgic for that experience. And then I want to go through and like replay 64 and those other games that I might have missed.
I see. That's very cool. That's very cool. Do you feel like as you've, you know, with that gap there within gaming, like you've got to just love seeing like some of these remakes showing up. Like, I mean, did you play Sunshine when it was on GameCube?
Mm-mm. I did not play Sunshine. I didn't play Sunshine. There was just a lot that I missed. So I bought them when the 3D, what's it called, came out, 3D All-Stars yep. came out, and I have not opened it yet because I want to live react on stream. But every time I open my Switch to play Animal Crossing, that icon is just staring me in the face like, you haven't played me yet. When are you going to play?
Yeah.
So
that's,
I'm excited.
That's great. And so you mentioned Animal Crossing, like what did it start for this on the Switch or did you play Animal Crossing on GameCube?
I had never played Animal Crossing before. I didn't even know what it was. And I think was it during an E3 that they showed the first trailer for the new Animal Crossing?
I believe it was, yeah. I don't know if it was E3, actually. It might have been like an early, like a spring direct or something. Because it may have been E3, but I know in 2019 when they handed me my lanyard and it didn't have Animal Crossing on it, I knew at that point that the game was delayed because it only had Link's Awakening and Pokemon Sword and Shield and Luigi.
Right.
And I was like, oh no, where's Animal Crossing? So yeah, they may have teased it. I don't remember if it was an E3. But the first trailer.
I remember when the trailer came out, Twitter was just exploding. And I wasn't even in what you would consider games Twitter at the time. Like my background is in entertainment. But I had a lot of friends who were really excited for this trailer. And I remember watching it and going, okay, kind of cute. Like, what's the big deal? Why is everyone freaking out about this? And then the game finally launched and all my coworkers were playing it. All my friends were playing it. And then pandemic hit and then everybody was playing it.
Right.
And I went through this like phase of FOMO where they were able to fly to each other's islands and hang out with each other. And I was like, I miss people. I want to hang out with people. And I didn't have a Switch at the time. Like I had a Switch previously and I sold it because I got laid off from my job. And so when Animal Crossing came out this time, I didn't have a Switch. And so I actually had to wait a while to have a Switch in my life because they were sold out everywhere. So
that was a rough time.
It was.
Like scalpers were going crazy. Couldn't find them. It's even happening right now. It's hard to find a Switch. And that's because of Monster Hunter.
I had to set like a Target in stock alert on my phone just to get a light. And so I got a light last end of April and started playing Animal Crossing and was like, I see the light. Like, I get it. I get why this is so great. And I'm a really creative person and I'm a really social person. So I took to the game right away. Just being able to have people like fly over to my island and being able to like hang out with people in pandemic. I'm pretty sure Animal Crossing saved a lot of people's lives, mine included, just because of the social elements of that game.
Absolutely. Yeah. So did you end up with an Animal Crossing Switch?
No. So I had the Lite, and then I finally got like a regular, like big girl Switch in, like towards the end of July, with the intention of streaming Animal Crossing, because you can't stream from a Lite. So I just have a regular one, or Lite and a regular, but not the Animal Crossing one.
So did you transfer your island, or did you start new and then you're visiting yourself?
Yes. So the journey has been thus. I started a second island.
Okay.
With the intention of like farming cherry blossoms and like things that I had missed when, because I started late. But of course, if anyone remembers, cherry blossom season overlaps with bunny day. And so I time traveled back to cherry blossom season, and every balloon was eggs. So I couldn't get the cherry blossom DIYs anyway. And so what I ended up doing was, like, my main island is called Narnia, and it's on my Switch Lite, and it's like a 1,000-hour island. It's 5 stars. I have a Disney-themed house, a TV-themed house. I have a pirate-themed house. I, like, made Disneyland on my island almost. The new island was just to, like, play with, and so I was just swapping out villagers and villager hunting a lot, and just kind of, like, having a second island is great because you don't have to worry about messing anything up. And then when I was ready to start streaming it in January, I reset it and started completely over on the second island.
So I do this thing called Animal Crossing Cribs, where I just tour people's islands for. So we're gonna have to set that up, because I want to see.
Please crib Narnia. Narnia is crib worthy. It's so good. I recently like tore down part of it, so I do kind of have to work on that a little bit. But yeah, I love Narnia. And I actually got a third Switch so that I can port it over. But I don't want to lose anything. And so I'm like scared to move the island. But I know people have done it, so we'll see.
Yeah, I think that transfer tool that you get from the shop, I think, pretty secure.
Okay.
I understand. I mean, and honestly, you probably just watch a couple videos on.
Yeah. Because I put so much time into it, I don't want to lose it. But on the other hand, I want to stream it. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to show people what I spent a year working on. So.
So Hoffman in the chat there, he says, I've used it multiple times.
Oh.
He has like 6 Switches.
Okay.
He has 1 Switch. That is completely full of every item
okay.
that you can collect. And so I can hook you up with the, if you ever want to go, it takes 4 to 6 hours, I think. And you catalog everything so that you'll have
right.
every item. And then he also nice. Has done it with clothing. He has 2 different islands, 1 for items, 1 for clothing. And he has everything. And so
I love that.
We'll open it up, but then people will steal stuff or not. And then he's like, oh, great. Now I have to figure out what items are missing or what.
Oh, no. All right, Hoffman, if you've used it, then that encourages me. Because I have a couple different users on that island for each of my themed houses. So it's not just porting over, like, my main character would also be porting over these secondary ones. So I haven't done it yet. Like, my Switch is just sitting over there in a box because I haven't done it yet, but I need to. And I'll look online and
yeah.
I'll take the leap.
If anybody's done it, it's definitely him, because he's like, he's crazy when it comes. I would be like, hey Hoffman, I need, you know, whatever items that are not easy to come by. And he's like, hang on, I'll have them to you in a few minutes. And like, all of a sudden I have everything I need, you know? So yeah. So he's the Animal Crossing hookup for sure. So that, I mean, that's incredible. That was your first, do you ever see yourself? Do you still have that Wii?
I do. It's in storage, 'cause we had to move over the summer. But I did tell my dad last time I saw him, I said, next time you go to storage, can you bring home the game box? Because I want the Wii.
Yeah. Well, because you could play the GameCube version of Animal Crossing on there.
And, really?
Yeah, because it plays GameCube games. If you set it on its side and open up the top, there's a spot for four controllers to plug in GameCube controllers and the memory cards. And then it takes those little discs. And you can easily play the Wii on a newer TV because you can get like an HDMI adapter that works. And they're very cheap. They're very inexpensive. So...
Okay.
But then if you have a DS, like New Leaf is super great. But I mean they're different and they're not there's so many quality of life things in New Horizons that going back is like a little bit rough. But at the same time, I have a 20-year-old town from the GameCube.
That's amazing.
That I can go back to, and it's like a time capsule of all this crazy stuff. My uncle got my uncle into Animal Crossing on the GameCube, and my face and my son's face are on my island. My townspeople are walking around with my face on their shirt because he designed it. And then he's like, you know, I don't even think we could text back then. So he would like call me and be like, hey, write this code down. And then I would write it down. And then, you know, in my town, I would have whatever he sent, whatever design, things like that. So it's like but it's just, it's kind of fun to look back the way the game moved. You could only see so much of the screen at a time, and then the whole screen would shift. And so even the movement and stuff is like, it's crazy. The DS is like the whole game's on a cylinder, kind of like how New Horizons is. It's a trip. It's a trip going back to those, but
I wouldn't be opposed to getting a DS, and I think I looked them up on eBay recently, but they still go for, I don't know, $200 or $300 or $400, maybe just because they're rare or harder to find.
Depending on, like, honestly, if we ever get garage sales again, like I've been able to get pretty lucky finding handhelds. And a lot of times people are just like, I just want this out of here so you can get them for a steal. But
right. But they're just doing, they're purging, they're cleaning.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's talk a little bit more about the Switch then. You did Animal Crossing. Has anything else really caught your attention, or is that, I mean, you said a thousand hour island. So, I mean, that's,
yeah. Animal Crossing has been all consuming. I played straight through end of April of last year, May, June, July, August. I think by August, I was pretty much done with my island, and then we moved, and so I didn't really play in the fall too much, and then came back for the holidays, and then now I'm working on my newer island. When I had a Switch previously in 2017, I bought it to play Mario Odyssey, and I did play through that and did finish that before I had to sell the Switch, and I loved it.
Odyssey is like up there for me. It's like one of the best on the Switch. Like, it was my game of the year over Breath of the Wild, and I loved Breath of the Wild. So, but I was smiles ear to ear when I finished that game. Like, it was just such a love letter to Mario fans.
I loved going in the little pipes and being 2D again. Thought that was so clever.
Yeah.
I loved that.
That was one of the best parts of that game for sure. You remember going into the theater and then going in the pipe, and then you played the first level of Super Mario Brothers for the crowd in New Donk City, right?
Like, yes.
Yeah, that was so great.
Odyssey was so clever and so brilliant. And I feel like I didn't even scratch the surface on that game, because when you finish, you're in kind of that open world portal area where you jump through the pictures, which was like 64,
right?
And like right as I was playing through some of those and doing some of the bonuses and stuff, I had to get rid of the Switch, and it was tragic. So now if I want to play it again, I'd have to buy it again. Or I did get it, you know what, I forgot, I got it for my birthday. I just haven't played it yet, but I'm going, like, as I play through all the Mario games on stream, I will get to Odyssey.
There you go. That's great. That's great. Well, let's talk a little bit about streaming. How's that been going for you? How long have you been on Twitch?
So I found Twitch. It's so funny. I play a lot of Fortnite, like more Fortnite than is probably considered healthy. I love Fortnite. And so I was, when was I playing Fortnite? I started playing Fortnite back in 2018. I played it when they made it free on the Switch, which I think was at E3 2018. And so I was living in LA at the time, so I was playing a lot of Fortnite on my Switch. My parents were playing Fortnite on their PlayStation, and then they unlocked crossplay. So I could like still game with my parents, even though I was living in a separate city. And at the time, I was kind of getting into like YouTube gaming and like streamers and stuff. And I don't know if you know who Muselk is.
Not off the top of my head.
He's an Australian YouTuber who plays a lot of Fortnite. And Fortnite had just put golf carts in the game that you could bounce on the roof of.
Oh, yeah.
To give you a little bit of bounce. And he killed this guy who was right on the edge of this cliff in the desert. And he ran over to loot the body. And he realized that there was a player that was stuck, like, at the bottom of the map, like, off this cliff, but was still alive. And
I remember this.
You remember this clip?
Yes.
So, Muselk, his name is Elliot, like, in real life. He realizes what's happening. He realizes that the player he killed was trying to rescue this player who was stuck at the bottom. And so he decides, oh, I'm going to rescue this guy, right? So he edits his builds to be stairs. And he's like ramping down, ramping down, ramping down, ramping down. And he realizes that the player is stuck below the build limit. So even if you have materials to build, it's a part of the map you can't build. So this player is stuck down there. Mm-hmm. And so he has the genius idea of driving the golf cart down the builds to rescue this player, because if the player jumped on the top, he can bounce on the top. And so it's like this epic rescue, right? And he has this great Aussie accent, and he's like, I'm gonna save him. And he ends up hitting the player and yeeting the player off the map to his death. I mean, it's just the greatest moment in Fortnite history.
I love it.
So I saw that clip on Twitter and decided to like look up, well, who is Muselk and does he stream on Twitch or is he on YouTube? And I think I downloaded the Twitch app, just assuming that he was on Twitch. Turns out he's a YouTuber. Anyway. So I found Twitch, got an account, and was like, oh, there's this whole other world of people who play video games and like get paid to do it. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. This is like a total, you know, all those people who were told as kids, you'll never make any money playing video games, you know.
Yeah.
Guess what? Have you heard of Ninja? Yeah. Have you heard of, you know, XQC and all these other guys? So I immediately fell in love with the platform and what you can do on the platform. And then when I realized you could just very easily push to stream on the PlayStation, I was starting to stream Fortnite, just no cam. I don't even think I had a mic at the time. Like, I didn't know what, like, team gaming was. I didn't know what it was like to be on a mic. Whenever you jump into Fortnite, people are like, is anybody on a mic? Yeah. I had no idea what that was. Like, I had missed competitive, like, co-op games that, like, I just had no experience with that. So Fortnite kind of brought me into the world of like Twitch and YouTube and like how to play with other people. And then I decided like, okay, if I'm going to stream something consistently, I don't want it to be Fortnite because I don't know, like Animal Crossing is just more fun. It's more creative. It's more light. Fortnite can get like really intense and sweaty. So I decided to stream Animal Crossing. And so far I really like it. And then Mario games, which has also been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What is your Twitch for anybody that may want to follow along?
So it's Lauren_Galaxy. That is kind of my handle. I'm Lauren Galaxy on TikTok and Lauren Galaxy on Twitch. And right now I'm just streaming once a week on Wednesdays. And I'm playing through Super Mario World, just one level per stream. And it's been super fun because you forget the extra stuff or you remember some of the extra stuff. Like Finest Funko, he's in chat right now. And I couldn't remember how to fill in. I think it was the red blocks so that you can get to like a certain secret. And so I had to go back and replay a level. And it's just been so nostalgic and so fun. I'm really enjoying it.
That's great. That's great. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me tonight. This was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. It's so fun to just go down memory lane, especially with something as heartfelt and nostalgic as Nintendo.
Yeah.
Something that's been a part of my life, if not my whole life, but like most of my life. So thank you for the amazing conversation.
Yeah, this was a blast, and we will definitely have to do it again. I also have an Animal Crossing podcast, so we might have to come, you know, have you come and chat with us on there as well. Because
is there anything you know, you don't do?
I don't know. I stay very busy, very very busy. So, guys, make sure to give Lauren a follow. Lauren_Galaxy, twitch.tv/Lauren_Galaxy, and Twitter, TikTok, all the places. You guys can connect with me at N64Josh if you want to jump in the Discord and chat with some great people, play some Animal Crossing, play some Monster Hunter or Mario Kart, whatever you're into. N64Josh.com/Discord. Thanks for listening, guys, and or watching, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye now.